بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. All praise is due to Allah, and may Allah send His peace and His blessings upon the Prophet Muhammad, his companions, and all those who follow them on their righteous path until the Day of Judgment. We have completed at least the translation or the interpretation of the meaning of Ayat al-Kursi in English. Right. And we mentioned the virtue of this ayah, and we said that it is the greatest ayah in the Quran, and we have an evidence for that. Does anyone remember the evidence? What's the evidence that Ayat al-Kursi is the greatest ayah in the Quran?
When Sahaba told this is the greatest ayah in the Quran, he told it to Rasulullah, but that he didn't say anything, he accepted.
Actually, there was more than that. What was his name? His name was Ubay ibn Ka'b, Ubay the son of Ka'b. And actually, the Prophet ﷺ asked, what is the greatest ayah in the Quran? Then Ubay ibn Ka'b said, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyu al-qayyum. The Prophet ﷺ patted him on his chest and he said, congratulations for this knowledge, Aba al-Mundhir, the father of Mundhir, which was his kunya. So here the Prophet ﷺ acknowledged then the statement of the Sahabi. And this is a sunnah, because we said the sunnah is divided into three. I'm sure everybody remembers that. And we said that, how is it then, how do we understand the fact that there are some verses that are better than other verses, although all of them come from Allah? If someone asks you that, how do you explain that?
Some ayah is better than others, because some ayah is telling about Allah attributes itself.
Okay.
Kul kullahu wahdahu Allah, telling about Allah itself. Mm-hmm. So it is greater than other ayahs.
So, and then it is the subject matter what favors or makes some ayahs or chapters more virtuous than others, not anything else, because the speaker is Allah Azza wa Jal. The one who said all of them is Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. So it is not in terms of who said it, it's what the subject matter is about. Tayyib, jayyid. We actually have stopped at the statement وقوله لا عفوا قول المؤلف رحمه الله حيث يقول الله لا إله إلا هو في هذه الآية يخبر الله بأنه منفرد بالألوهية. ابن تيمية رحمه الله said where Allah says Allah there is no God worthy of worship except he says, the Shaykh said in his tafsir, ibn Uthaymeen رحمه الله, in this ayah Allah tells us about his exclusivity, him being exclusively worshipped, the one who's unique in terms of being worshipped. Because we said before, there are other gods. There are many other gods, thousands, millions, according to the people, not in reality. And they are worshipped besides Allah. People dedicate worship to them, but their worship is falsehood, because the object of worship that they're worshipping is also false, and only Allah Azza wa Jalla is the one who deserves to be worshipped. Then this is why the most accurate translation for the word La ilaha illallah is there's no God worthy of worship except Allah. Otherwise there's other gods. طيب وذلك مقوله الله لا إله إلا هو لأن هذه جملة تفيد الحصر. This statement, Allah, there's none worthy of worship but He. The Shaykh said this one, in this kind of sentence in the Arabic language, indicates exclusivity. وطريقة النفي والإثبات هذه من أقوى صيغ الحصر. Negating something, then confirming it, is one of the strongest ways of exclusivity. Format, in the format, in the language. When you say, everyone failed except whatever, that's the strongest way. Because if you say that he passed, what comes to mind? Maybe he's not the only one. Maybe others passed with him. So when you make it exclusive, everyone failed, that's negating. Except him, that's confirming. That's the strongest way. That's the strongest way you can say that this person passed, whereas everybody else failed. So this is what is indicated with that. طيب. وقوله الحي القيوم. Now we should. Now we're going to learn what that means. الحي أي ذو الحياة الكاملة. الحي, the ever living. Meaning the one possessing the perfect life. The one who possesses the perfect life. المتضمنة لجميع صفات الكمال. Which includes all attributes of perfection. لم تسبق بعدم. There was no nothingness before it. No nothingness. There was nothing that, there's no, at no point in time, there was nothing before that life. That life has been eternal, infinite, in presence. ولا يلحقها زوال. And it will not be followed with non-existence. It will not reach a point where it will no longer exist. ولا يعتريها نقص بوجه من الوجوه. And there's absolutely no deficiency in it. No deficiency may affect it in any way, shape or form. والحي, the ever living, من أسماء الله. It's one of the names of Allah عز وجل. وقد تطلق على غير الله, but it may be given to other than Allah. Pay attention. You may use that term to describe other than Allah. قال تعالى, Allah says, يخرج الحي من الميت. He brings forth the live from the dead. So يخرج الحي. Now notice, الله لا إله إلا هو الحي. يخرج الحي. Same thing. Same thing. ولكن ليس الحي كالحي ولا يلزم من الاشتراك في الاسم التماثل في المسمى. But that life is not like that life. The life of Allah, Al-Hay, the meaning of that is not the same as when Allah brings forth the living from the dead. You know, like they say, such as the bird that hatches from an egg. The egg is dead in a sense, and then Allah brings the life. The ground is dead, then you get vegetation, things that are alive and what have you. These are some of the examples the scholars use. So, and the fact that they share the name, does not necessitate that the essence is the same. And this is similar to the Islamic and Christian understanding of things. The Christians, like the Muslims, believe in God. They believe in the angels. They believe in the messengers. They believe in the books. They believe in the Day of Judgment. And they believe in preordainment. But the fact that we share the titles with them or the headings does not necessitate that our essence is the same. To them, Allah is three in one. To them, Allah rested on the seventh day. As it quotes in the Bible, that in 6 days God made heaven and earth, then on the seventh He rested and was refreshed, had to recuperate. Now, to us, if you have a God that gets tired and needs some rest, then you don't have a God anymore. But this is their belief system. They believe in the angels, but they say angels are good and bad. Lucifer, Satan, was a bad angel, fallen angel. Now to us, he was a jinn. Shaitan, Iblis, was among the jinn. And he was cast. He was kicked out. He was accursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To them, he was an angel. Notice. So to them, angels are good angels and bad angels. In Islam, لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما أمرون. They do not disobey Allah regarding what He commands them, and they do everything they are commanded. So they don't have the free will as we have the free will. Angels are obedient to Allah, period. Messengers. To them, the messengers, they quote in their Bible, David, peace be upon him, dancing naked in front of the people, in front of God. That's in the Bible. Lut having a relationship with both of his daughters, where they both became pregnant with the seed from their father. Incest. Many other prophets and messengers, they quote Noah getting drunk and lying down in his tent, and his son Shem walked in and he saw the nakedness of his father. So if you really look at the examples that they have of the messengers, they are the most evil of people. Yes, they're in their Bible. The messengers are worse than the average person. the most heinous of crimes. I mean, come on, adultery, getting drunk, you know, having a relationship with your daughters. I don't know. Well, what else do you want? So this is their concept of messengers. Now, in Islam, these are the best of people, man. These are the examples to be followed. Likewise, belief in the books. To them, any person who writes something, they say this is the book of God. They bring you 10 Bibles, they tell you all these are the word of God. Although none of them are identical. One has 66 chapters if it's a Protestant Bible. One has 73 if it's a Catholic Bible. So which one is the book of God? So this is their concept of scriptures. Now we don't have that in Islam. We know that anything that is from Allah is preserved, is we believe in it, or if it's not available, we don't say that this is the book of Allah. We don't get the Bible say this is the book of Allah. Rather we say Jesus was given the gospel, we don't have it anymore. And likewise the day of judgment, according to some biblical texts, only 144,000 will enter paradise. 144,000 only. Then the door will be closed, no one can go to paradise. In Islam, anyone who believes and does righteous deeds. And preordainment. We have a definition in Islam. They don't have really one that is understood in Christianity. So now some will say, well, we Muslims and Christians believe, say, no. The fact that we share the name does not necessitate that the essence is the same. This is what Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said when he was asked about Jannah. He said, what about Jannah? We hear Allah says in the Quran there's trees in Jannah, there's canopies, nice sofa, relax, huh? You recline on a sofa, you have wine, you know, coming around, women. What's up with that? He said, the only thing that is common between the things that we know in this world and the things in paradise is the name. This is called wine and that is called wine. The only thing common is the name. As essence, nothing. Nothing similar. Likewise the woman, likewise the canopies, likewise the rivers, likewise the trees. It's not just going to be a regular garden, you know, you're just going to have a garden like you will have one in this dunya, but you'll be upstairs. You're going to have something that no eye has ever seen, no ear has ever heard, never come across a person's mind. But we Allah gave him names in the Quran that we may relate to. So this is understood now. The fact that we share the names does not necessitate that the essence is the same. So the fact that Allah is Al-Hayy, and some of his creation are also Hay, does not mean that the essence is the same. This Hay is deficient. Us, we didn't exist before. We will not exist at some point. You know, we are not in control of our lives as to bring it and take it. Whereas Allah Azza wa Jalla's life is different. So the name is the same, but not the essence. Tayyib. Al-Qayyum ala wazn say'ul. وهذه من صيغة المبالغة. It is in the language, in the Arabic language, this is a term of abundance, exaggeration, meaning a lot. When there's a lot of something, it comes in this format, fayul. Okay, because the language is different. When you say, for example, kathib is a liar. Kathib, someone who is lying. Kathab is someone who is known for lying. That format, although the word is, they both derive from the same meaning, to lie. But kadhab, to indicate excessiveness, meaning he always lies. So then kadhab is stronger than kadhib, a liar. You see what I'm saying? So in the language, in the Arabic language, although the words may be derived from the same root word, the way they are used in a sentence depends on the amount of times that something happens. So qayyum is one of these excessiveness, meaning something that is happening a lot. وَهِيَ مَقُودَ مِنَ الْقِيَامِ. It comes from قِيَام. Now قِيَام, how many meanings do come to mind in قِيَام? قِيَام is to, for example, الرِّجَالُ قَوَّمُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ. The men are the caretakers. So one of the meanings of قِيَام is to caretake. Another meaning is قِيَام like prayer. Yeah. To stand up. Hey. Another meaning is to establish. وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ. And establish the salah. So the word qiyam has a number of meanings. Here, it means that Allah Azza wa Jal is established within Himself, self-sufficient. Here the meaning is self-sufficiency. So, وَمَعْنَى الْقَيُّمْ أَيْ أَنَّهُ الْقَائِمُ بِنَفْسِهِ. He is the self-sufficient, establishing Himself within Himself Azza wa Jal. فَقِيَامِهِ بِنَفْسِهِ يَسْتَلْزِمُ إِسْتِغْنَائِهِ عَنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. The fact that he is self-sufficient is an indication that he is in no need of anything. He does not need, he is self-sufficient from having any outside assistance, because he is Qayyum. You see what I'm saying? Otherwise you would need assistance, you would need help to help you establish, to help you be in charge, to help you erect in a sense, yani, if this is what Qiyam, as in prayer, standing for Salah. But the fact that Azza wa Jalla is Qayyum is an indication that he is self-sufficient in and within himself, that nothing else is needed. لا يحتاج إلى أكل ولا شرب ولا غيرها. Allah does not need food, he does not need drink, and he does not need anything else as we may need. وغيره لا يقوم بنفسه. And everything else cannot be self-sufficient. بل هو محتاج إلى الله عز وجل في إيجاده وإعداده وإمداده. Rather, he is in need of Allah عز وجل in bringing him to existence. You cannot come to existence without Allah عز وجل. Then sustaining you in this life and keeping you going. Man, we are dependent on Allah and all of these, and Allah is independent in all of these. ومن معنى القيوم كذلك أنه قائم على غيره. Now the word قيوم means both self-sufficient and the sustainer of others. So two meanings. If in reference to Allah, self-sufficiency, being perfect, not needing anything else. The other meaning in terms of creation, the one who is taking care of them, the one who is sustaining them. لقوله تعالى أفمن هو قائم على كل نفس بما كسبت. So is the one who is قائم على, upon each soul with that which is earned. والمقابل محذوف, and that which comes in return is omitted. تقديره كمن ليس كذلك, meaning is he the one who is sufficing and maintaining every soul. And it doesn't say like the one who does not. In the Quran, this ayah does not mention the comparison. It's just omitted, but it is understood. So is the one who is maintaining every soul? That's how the question came in the Quran. It did not say like the one who is not. The answer, that the one who is not, is omitted. وَالْقَائِمْ عَلَى كُلِّ نَفْسٍ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ هُوَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who is maintaining every soul and everything that soul earns. ولهذا يقول العلماء, this is why the scholars say, القيوم هو القائم بنفسه القائم على غيره. القيوم is the one who is self-sufficient within himself and the one who is maintaining others. وإذا كان قائما على غيره لزم أن يكون غيره قائما به. And if he is the one maintaining others, then everything else is maintained through him. طيب. قال الله تعالى ومن آياته أن تقوم السماء والأرض بأمره. And among the signs that the heavens and the earth are maintained by His command. By His command. So now the heavens and the earth are maintained by Allah. And Allah Azza wa Jalla is the one who is the self-sufficient maintaining them. فهو إذن كامل الصفات وكامل الملك والأفعال. So Allah is perfect in His attributes, perfect in His sovereignty and in His actions. وهذان الاسمان هما الاسم الأعظم الذي إذا دعي الله به أجاب. These two names are the two greatest names of Allah. The ones that if He is supplicated to by these names, He will respond. ولهذا ينبغي للإنسان في دعائه أن يتوسل به. This is why it is incumbent upon the human, the believer in this case, in his supplication to beg Allah through these names. To beg Allah through these names. فيقول يا حي يا قيوم. So you say in your dua, يا حي يا قيوم. وقد ذكر في الكتاب وقد ذكر في الكتاب العزيز في ثلاثة مواضع. These two names were mentioned together in the Quran in three different occasions. The first one is where? آية الكرسي. The one that we're dealing with right now. والثاني في سورة هذا أحدها. والثاني في سورة آل عمران. In the beginning of سورة آل عمران. Actually verse 2. الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم. Hey, the same beginning of Ayat al-Kursi, but then the verse ends differently. والثالثة في سورة طه. Verse 111. وَعَنَتِ الْوُجُوهُ لِلْحَيِّ الْقَيُّومُ وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ حَمَلَ ظُلْمًا. And the faces will fall in humbleness to the ever-living, the sustainer, and he will be disappointed and regretful that, or the one who carried oppression, meaning the one who was oppressive in his life, he will be regretful on the Day of Judgment. So these are the three different occasions where Al-Hayyul Qayyum are mentioned. Ayatul Kursi, the second verse of Al-Imran, and verse 111 of Surah Taha. هَذَانِ الْإِسْمَانِ فِيهِمَا الْكَمَالُ الذَّاتِي وَالْكَمَالُ السُّلْطَانِي. These two names include the personal perfection of Allah Azza wa Jal and the perfection of authority. Allah being the Sultan, the one in total authority. No one is in, has no authority in the kingdom of Allah Azza wa Jal except by His will. فَالذَّاتِ, the personal one, is in the statement of Allah, Al-Hayy, the ever-living. والسلطاني, and the authoritative one, is in his statement Al-Qayyum, because it indicates others. لأنه يقوم على كل شيء, because he is the one maintaining every single thing. ويقوم به كل شيء, and everything is maintained through him. عز وجل جل جلاله وتقدست أسماؤه. طيب, this is clear, huh? قوله لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. No drowsiness or slumberness, both are used, overtake him, nor sleep. والسنة والسنة لا تأخذه سنة عفوا والسنة النعاس. It is being sleepy. No. إيه. Being drowsy. You know the drowsy, or you're just about to knock out. وهي مقدمة نوم. It's an introduction for sleep. And usually happens for people who drive long distance. Huh? Be careful of going somebody long distance while they're sleeping, man. I've been in a few occasions. It's the scariest thing in the world. When you see a brother behind the wheel, and he's closing his eyes and he opens like this. Because the next thing you know, you wake up, you know, under an 18-wheeler. Because sleep is so powerful, man. Even if you're driving, and you know that you may lose your life, and your family is sitting in the back, you will still fall asleep. SubhanAllah. So sleep is a dangerous thing. You know, try to avoid driving while asleep. Park, pull over, and take a nap. Anywho, ولم يكن لا ينام لأن النوم يكون باختيار والآخذ يكون بالقهر. And Allah Azza wa Jalla did not say he does not sleep, because sleeping is something that is done willingly, not something that happens to you in this sense. والنوم من صفات النقص. Now sleeping is a deficiency. Sleeping is a deficiency. قال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام إن الله لا ينام ولا ينبغي له أن ينام. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, verily Allah does not sleep, and it is not befitting that Allah sleeps. We sleep because we get tired. You get tired, you can no longer continue unless you get some rest. Isn't that deficiency? Because if we didn't sleep, I mean, you're a big shot. Imagine 24/7 you're just working, you'd be better than someone who has to sleep. That person is more deficient in a sense. So anyways, it's an attribute of deficiency, and Allah Azza wa Jal does not sleep. Of course, the Christians, alaykum salam wa rahmatullah, you can always tell the Christians who claim that Jesus is God, it quotes Jesus in the Bible as sleeping. So tell them then, how did God go to sleep? Who is maintaining the universe when God went to sleep? So obviously this is among the things that you can always argue with them about. In a good way, of course, not just to argue, I mean just to share with them or teach them. Because God can only do things that are consistent with Him being God. So once you say that God went to sleep, there is no longer God. How God is going to go to sleep? So obviously, لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. No drowsiness or slumberness overtakes Him, nor any sleep. The Shaykh رحمه الله said, وهذه صفة من صفات النفي. وقد سبق أن صفات النفي لا بد أن تتضمن ثبوتا وهو كمال الضد. Now, hopefully you remember these foundations. He said this is an attribute of negation. Right or wrong? Is this negation or affirmation?
Negation.
Remember the ayah? لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. Is that negation or affirmation?
Negation.
No drowsiness overtakes him, nor any sleep, negating that. Now we said from before that anytime, when it's speaking about Allah, anytime something is negated, you are automatically affirming the opposite of it. So even the negation here is a means of perfection. Is actually praising Allah in the form of negating. طيب. وَهُوَ كَمَالُ الضِّدْ. And it's the opposite of this. The perfection is the opposite. So if no drowsiness overtakes him or sleep, meaning, then Allah Azza wa Jal has the ultimate life where there is no such deficiency. The opposite of deficiency. وَالْكَمَالُ فِي قَوْلِهِ لَا تَأْخُذُهُ سِنَةُ وَلَا نَوْمُ كَمَالُ الْحَيَاةُ وَالْقَيُّومِيَّةُ. And the perfection here, in that statement, لَا تَأْخُذُهُ سِنَةُ وَلَا نَوْمُ, is the perfection of the life and maintenance. Because only if you have the ultimate life and the ultimate maintenance, you do not sleep. Otherwise, if you go to sleep, how are you going to maintain? You can no longer maintain. So subhanAllah, even the, yani, this small ayah, or the beginning of the ayah, there's treasures in it, in terms of how the words relate to each other, and how one affirms, one negates, and all of them are harmonious. So you know, this is why we need to seek knowledge. طيب. لأنه من كمال حياتي أنه لا يحتاج إلى نوم. Because of the perfection of his life, he does not need any sleep. ومن كمال قيوميته أنه لا ينام. Likewise, because of the perfection of his self-sufficiency, likewise he does not need to sleep. لأن النوم إنما يحتاج إليه المخلوقات الحية. Sleep is something that is needed by living creatures, us. لنقصها, because of its deficiency. لأنها تحتاج إلى النوم من أجل الاستراحة من تعب سبق. Because it needs to rest, it needs sleep in order to rest from some tiredness that overtook that life. واستعادة القوة لعمل مستقبل, and to recuperate for some future work. So you sleep to make up for tiredness that passed and to prepare yourself for a future action that you'll be taking. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله. أهلا. ولما كان أهل الجنة كاملي الحياة كانوا لا ينامون كما صحت بذلك الأثار. Now, because of the people of Jannah will be likewise perfect in their life, in the sense, after, they will not sleep either. They will not sleep either, as it has been confirmed. So in Jannah you'll not be taking any naps. And maybe some of us love sleep so much that we'll say, but I want to sleep, you know. It'll be good to sleep for a few years just to make up for all the, you know, hard work in this dunya. Then we say time out. The deficiencies that we have in this dunya will not carry on to the hereafter. Before you enter Jannah, may Allah make this among the inhabitants of Jannah, you will not have the same needs and understanding and things in this you had in this dunya. Maybe now you wish for some things, over there you will not wish for. Maybe now you want to sleep, over there you're not going to want to sleep. Because your body will not require of you to sleep. So anyone before he enters Jannah, because some people think that they will still have, you know, what if I found someone who had more property than me in Jannah? What if I found this, am I going to feel bad? Say there's no feeling bad in Jannah. No one will have this feeling whatsoever. Once you enter Jannah, it's a whole other way of life. Other than that of the dunya. طيب. لكن لو قال قائل النوم في الإنسان كمال. What if someone said, but hold on a second, you said that sleep is deficiency, but actually for a human being, sleep is perfection. Sleep is actually something that is praiseworthy. وَلِهَذَا إِذَا لَمْ يَنَمْ الْإِنسَانِ عُدَّ مَرِيضًا. This is why if a person doesn't sleep, they'll say he's sick. So there's something wrong with him and he can't sleep. فنقول كالأكل في الإنسان كمال ولو لم يأكل عبد مريضا. And so he will say, this is similar to food. Food for a human being is also means of perfection. And if he didn't eat, people will think he's sick. لكن هو كمال من وجه ونقص من وجه آخر. But it is perfect. It has perfection or يعني goodness in one way, but it also has deficiency in another way. لكمال ونقص من وجه آخر. كمال لدلالته على صحة البدن واستقامته ونقص لأن البدن صح محتاج إليه. It is perfection because it's an indication that the person's health is correct, the fact that he's able to eat. But it is deficiency because the body needs it. The body is in need of it. وهو في الحقيقة نقص. This is deficiency because you're only perfect when you don't need something. Once you are in need of something, you become dependent on that thing, then this is deficiency in and within itself. Although, the fact that you eat is an indication you're better than someone who's unable to eat. This is, you're good in this sense, but you're still at the end of the day deficient because of your need for food to begin with. إذن ليس كل كمال نسبي بالنسبة للمخلوق يكون كمالا للخالق. So what is the summary of this, of these phrases? Not every perfection that is considered perfection for the creation is considered perfection for the creator. Not what is considered perfection for the creation becomes or is necessarily a perfection for the creator. So maybe perfection for the human being is to be able to eat, but for the creator this is not perfection, this is imperfection. طيب. كما أنه ليس كل كمال في الخالق يكون كمالا في المخلوق. Likewise, not every perfection in the creator is perfection for the creation. For example, فالتكبر كمال في الخالق نقص من المخلوق. تكبر, arrogance. Now I really don't want to use this word because that is not really what is intended when it's described Allah, Al-Mutakabbir. You know everybody should read Surah Al-Hashr, at the end of Surah Al-Hashr, right? Al-Malik Al-Quddus Al-Salam Al-Mu'min Al-Muhaymin Al-Aziz Al-Jabbar Al-Mutakabbir. So Al-Mutakabbir, now in Islamically, Al-Mutakabbir is the one who's arrogant. The one that when you give him the truth, he belittles you. You're still young. Don't tell, I'm Muslim more than you. Don't teach me anything. You get some people. This is called kibir. And the Prophet ﷺ said, a person who has a grain of this kibir will not enter Jannah. Because some people think kibir is looking nice, huh? Looking representable. When the Prophet ﷺ said, no mutakabbir will enter Jannah, one of the companions said, oh Messenger of Allah, one of us likes to have a nice thawb, nice shoes. He said, that's not arrogance, this is beauty, and Allah loves beauty. Allah is beautiful, Allah loves beauty. But kibir is one, is غَمْتُ النَّاسِ هُوَ رَدُّ الْحَقِّ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ السَّلَامِ وَغَمْتُ النَّاسِ. It is rejecting the truth. He didn't say رَدُّ الْحَقِّ, he said another word, I don't remember. Rejecting the truth and belittling people. Someone comes and give you advice, and because of arrogance in you, you don't accept it, although it's the truth. And you belittle people, you're better than everybody else. This is what a mutakabbir is. So now for a human being, this is a deficiency. You will not even enter Jannah. But for Allah, this is perfection for Allah. Because if Allah Azza wa Jal did not have this quality, that means that Allah Azza wa Jal is, that belittles the position and the status of Allah. So this is a necessity for him. As the Shaykh will mention, فَتَكَبُّرْ كَمَالٌ فِي الْخَالِقِ نَقْصٌ فِي الْمَخْلُوقِ. So Allah Azza wa Jal has the, يعني, the arrogance in the sense, but not in the sense that you think in the same way. But it is befitting to Allah. Not clear.
You don't get it. Takabbir means one who is having arrogance.
Yes. No, but then linguistically, when you are describing Allah, you don't, first we don't think in human. We're not going to think in human nature. Where يعني Allah is mutakabbir in the sense where someone will give him the truth, because Allah is the one is the truth. You see what I'm saying? So don't think of it this way. But it's an indication of authority. يعني Allah Azza wa Jal, because of his authority over the dominions of the heavens and the earth, because of his status, Allah Azza wa Jal is the one who has this quality. Because he is the ultimate king, he's the king of all kings. This is befitting his majesty, this is part of the might of Allah, part of the power of Allah. But if you take that quality and you give it to a creation, then this is no longer perfection, because you're giving yourself a status that you don't deserve. Allah is the creator, who are you? You see what I'm saying? Allah is the maintainer, who are you? You came from a sperm. Your life is deficient. Everything in you is deficient, and Allah Azza wa Jal is the perfect. So it befits Allah, but it doesn't befit the creation. You see what I'm saying? Likewise, the Shaykh said, والأكل والشرب والنوم كمال في المخلوق نقص في الخالق. Whereas eating and drinking and sleeping is maybe perfection, maybe a good quality for the creation, but it is not a good quality, or is not perfection, it is deficiency pertaining to the creator. ولهذا قال الله تعالى عن نفسه وهو يطعم ولا يطعم. This is what Allah عز وجل said about himself, and he is the one who feeds and he is not fed. He is the one who feeds and he is not fed. And in Surah Al-Dhariyat, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ مَا أُرِيدُ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ رِزْقٍ وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ يُطْعِمُونَ. And I did not create jinn and ins except to worship me. I do not ask of them of any sustenance, nor do I ask them to feed me. سورة الذاريات. إن الله هو الرزاق ذو القوة المتين. طيب، سواء هو يطعم ولا يطعم. وقوله له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض. To him belongs what is in the heavens and what is upon the earth. له خبر مقدم. This is information in the linguistically, grammatically speaking. خبر, which is information, يعني more what you can, in English it's an adjective, almost like an adjective that has been put forth. As if saying, everything in the heavens and the earth belongs to Allah. You say, to him belongs whatever is in the heavens and the earth. As opposed to saying, whatever is in the heavens and the earth belong to Allah. You say, to him belongs whatever is in the heavens and upon the earth. This is just the format. وما مبتدا مؤخر ففي الجملة حصر. Again, this is exclusivity. This is to indicate exclusivity. Meaning to him, only to Allah belongs everything in the heavens and the earth. This is stronger than saying the other one, as we mentioned many times before. طريقة تقديم المحقة والتأخير والخبر. This is when you delay whatever is usually put in the front. Is a form of exclusivity in the Arabic language, even in the English. له اللام هذه للملك. لام in له is ملك, the one of possession, meaning he possesses that. ملك تام بدون معارض, ultimate sovereignty and possession without any opposition. No one can oppose that. في السماوات من الملائكة والجنة وغير ذلك مما لا نعلمه. Everything in the heavens, which include the angels and Jannah and any things that we may not know about, whatever we may not know about. وما في الأرض من المخلوقات كلها الحيوان منها وغير الحيوان. And whatever is upon earth, also everything among the creation, whether the living or the non-living. The حيوان, not only animal, it's the living or the non-living. قوله السماوات تفيد أن السماوات عديدة. Now the statement of Allah, السماوات, is a plural for what? سماء, is an indication that there is more than one heaven. وهو كذلك. How many are there? Seven. وقد نص القرآن على أنها سبع. And the Quran has a clear text that it is seven. Allah says in the Quran, قل من رب السماوات السبع ورب العرش العظيم. Say, who is the Lord of the seven heavens and the Lord of the mighty throne? In Surah Al-Mu'minun verse 86. So Allah mentioned that it is seven heavens. والأرضون أشار القرآن إلى أن سبع. Likewise, the earth, we also have seven earth. We also have seven earth. أشار إليها القرآن بدون تصريح. The Quran also indicated that indirectly, not directly. وصرحت بها السنة, but the Sunnah declared it يعني directly. قال الله تعالى, الله الذي خلق سبع سماوات ومن الأرض مثلهن. Allah, the one who created seven heavens and among the earth, equal to them. Allah created seven heavens and from earth equal to them. يعني seven earths. مثلهن في العدد دون صفة. Equal to them in number, not in the characteristics. Of course, the heaven and the earth are not the same. وفي السنة, as for the sunnah, we have an evidence from the sunnah. قال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام, من اقتطع شبرا من الأرض ظلما توقه الله به يوم القيامة من سبع أرضين. Whomever takes even a handspan of a land oppressively in this dunya, Allah will make the seven heavens surround him. He will surround him with that on the day of judgment. It will encompass him. It doesn't mention tawakkahu Allah, it surrounds him, but perhaps it could be not Allahu A'lam. Maybe there's other narrations explaining it. But he said, the Prophet said, min sab'i ardeen, seven earths, seven of them, not the planet earth, that is, yani the earth, the ground. Na'am. So let me see here. We can go on. وقوله من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه. Who is that who will intercede with him except with his permission? The permission of who? Allah. Who dares to come on the day of judgment and intercede without the permission of Allah? No one. No one will dare to speak unless Allah is pleased with that person and pleased with the one who's being interceded for, as the Shaykh will explain. من ذا اسم استفهام. This is interrogative. Who is he that will intercede? أو نقول من اسم استفهام ذا ملغات ولا يصح أن تكون. Here he deals with the grammar. We will leave that alone. وقوله من ذا الذي يشفع عنده ولا بإذن. الشفاعة في اللغة جعل الوتر شفعا. Linguistically, شفاعة Shafa'a. Now we translate it as intercession. He said actually to make the odd even. Linguistically, not Islamically, time out. Al-Shafa'a, to make that which is odd even. Allah says in the Quran, وَالشَّفْعِ وَالْوِتْرِ وَالشَّفْعِ وَالْوِتْرِ. So this is a description to the odd and the even. وفي الاصطلاح, Islamically, technically, هي توسط للغير بجلب منفعة أو دفع مضرة. It is to intercede for someone, either by bringing a benefit or preventing a harm. To intercede on behalf of someone, either to bring that person a benefit or to prevent a harm. That's what shafa'a means. فمثلاً شفاعة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لأهل الموقف أن يقضى بينهم. An example of that is the intercession of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم on the Day of Judgment for the people who will be waiting for the judgment to begin. To begin, because if you read the narration, the whole creation will be gathered, and people will be sweating, and they will be for 50,000 years. They'll be standing, you know, in total state of despair. So much so that they start going around, go to Adam. Oh Adam, you're the father of the creation, you know. You are our father, Allah created you with his hands. Intercede with Allah. He will say, nafsi, nafsi, myself, myself. Go to Nuh. They will go to Nuh, you're the first messenger. He will say, nafsi, nafsi, myself, myself. Go to Ibrahim. Ibrahim will send him to Musa, alayhi salam. Musa to Isa, Isa to Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi salam. Here the Prophet ﷺ say, "Ana laha," I am for it. And he will actually go and do sujood. And he will supplicate to Allah, and he will praise him in a way where no one has ever done before. Then he will be, it will be said to him, raise your head and intercede, and you will be granted the intercession. So then the actual judgment will begin per the intercession of the Prophet ﷺ. This is his position. So you will know why he is the seal of all prophets, the imam of all the messengers. Because all of them on the Day of Judgment will say, myself, myself. Except the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, which Allah made me and you his followers. Not that of Noah, not that of... Not with that we're belittling them. We love all of them equally. But we know that he is the best, alayhi salatu wasalam. Alhamdulillah, we are among his followers. So we should be more keen on following his sunnah than anyone else. The believers who believe in him, alayhi salatu wasalam, should be the first to implement the sunnah in every aspect of their lives. Tayyib. So this kind of intercession is an intercession to remove a harm. The people on the Day of Judgment are in a state of distress, and Prophet ﷺ will remove that distress by interceding with Allah. That's two kinds of intercession, either to remove harm or to bring a benefit. And his intercession for the people of Jannah to enter Jannah, because he will also intercede, alayhi salam, to those who to enter Jannah. Through his intercession, this is to bring a benefit. But don't be a muqtadi', don't be an innovator. Because if you are an innovator, you are disqualified from this shafa'ah. Because it comes in a hadith, the sahih hadith, that when the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ will be around his lake, the one, the big pond of water, where, yes, al-hawd. Well, the Kawthar is in Jannah, but some say it's an extension to it on earth. Whatever. Al-Hawd, the known, the one that is known. But the Prophet ﷺ will give water to the believers, in which they will never be thirsty ever again. Okay, this is for the believers. This is on the Day of Judgment. This is confirmed, and you must read the book of... many books dealing with the Day of Judgment. Yeah, this is...
I don't believe it's bad or good.
No. No. This is where the hadith comes. The hadith explains. Some will come to the Prophet ﷺ, and the angels will hold them back. They will not allow them to come. He will say, Ummati, Ummati, my nation, these are my brothers. These are my brothers. Why are you preventing them? They will say, no, you do not know what they introduced into this deen after you left. You don't know what they innovated. He will say, Suhkan, Suhkan, may they be destroyed. May they be destroyed. Yeah. So bid'ah is a big deal. Don't do anything that the Prophet ﷺ did not do, or he did not speak about, or he did not acknowledge. If we want to get close to Allah, then we have plenty of sunnah. Stick to the sunnah, we have plenty, rather than going into extra things that will not get us except far away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anyways, وَقَوْلُهُ عِنْدَهُ, meaning, عِنْدَهُ meaning with Allah, and we will continue inshallah the rest of this in the next session بإذن الله عز وجل. In the continuation of Ayat al-Kursi. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك